The following program sponsored by Christian Training and Development Services, Hanson Chiropractic, Northwest Family Life, Ludeman Capital Management, Network Services, and Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center.
Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Welcome to another show on Creation Evolution. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and tonight's talk is going to be the origin of the races. Where did all these races come from? And why was racism so prominent in this country in the late 1800s and early 1900s? Why were so many prominent intellectual people in this country bought into the idea of racism, where one race was better than another? And did you know that most public schools today and universities actually support and teach a philosophy that was used to promote racism in this country? Boy, do we have a show tonight on the origin of the races. And before we get started, with me in the studio today is somebody very, very important in my life. And her name is Leslie Riddle. And if you're wondering why she has the same last name, that's because we're married. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, just to give you a brief here, we have some wonderful shows coming up in the future also. Next week, we have a great one. I'll be at a genetics conference down in California. We're going to do one called Refuting the Best Evidence Evolution Has to Offer. The best evidence we find in the textbooks. We'll show how easy that is to refute. Then on January the 18th, we have an expert on information. We're going to talk about where did all this incredible information in our DNA come from. Then we have a gentleman who's got his PhD in mathematics. He's going to talk about how to apply mathematics to creation evolution. February the 1st, make sure you tune in. Boy, do we have a controversial topic there. When does life begin? What about abortion? We're going to talk all about that on February the 1st. February the 8th is going to be the Genesis flood. Was it a local or worldwide flood? Because it makes a very big difference in how you understand the history of this earth. February the 15th, tune in again. Big one, cloning and stem cell research. Is Hollywood correct that we should have embryonic stem cell research? Is California making the right decision on that? Should we grow embryos and destroy them? Is that okay? Is there a type of cloning that is okay? Is there a type of stem cell that is okay? We're going to talk all about that. And then for some of you people out there who like Star Trek and get into all of that, we have a fabulous show on February the 22nd called Aliens and UFOs. Are there really aliens out there? Are we going to find any life on Mars? So we have quite a lineup in the future, but today's show is the origin of the races. Where did all the races come from? Well, let me start with there's only three possibilities. Now, I don't think there's any more than three, but I'm going to hold on. There's only three possibilities for all the races, where they came from. Number one, we have the biblical account of Adam and Eve. That's one possibility for all the races come from. We'll need to talk about that. Another possibility is what they teach in the public school systems and many universities. We evolved from ape-like creatures. And the only third possibility is, folks, we came from the aliens. But we're not going to talk about that one tonight. We're going to save those aliens for the topic for February the 22nd, when you can call in and talk about your views on, are there aliens out there? What about all these UFOs? So we're going to talk all about those. So we have some lines open. If you want to give us some opinions about where did all the races come from, what about racism? Why was racism so prominent in a country where we have so many intellectual people in the 1900s? Toll free, 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. Well, let's just consider the two options, the biblical account of creation, Adam and Eve, and also evolution from ape-like creatures. And also tonight, we have a couple of giveaways for those of you who have some good information. What we're going to do on the show tonight, we actually have a DVD. We have a DVD called The One Race. Where did all the races come from? A lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight. And as I read the back, it says, did our Darwinian evolution fuel racism? How was evolutionary teaching in schools? How has it had a devastating effect on people groups? Why has skin color become an excuse for prejudice? And what does the Bible say about interracial marriage? All of that on this DVD for the person who asks the best question tonight. So we're going to give that away free to the person who can ask the best question tonight. Where did all the races come from? What about racism? Well, let's start with the biblical model. If Adam and Eve were the first people, then where did all the races come from? Here we have two people. How do we get all these different races, all the different shades and colors of skins? We start with Adam and Eve, and they have three sons, Cain, Abel, and later Seth. But in Genesis 4, something very important happens to all this. We read that Cain rises up and murders his brother Abel. So folks, now we're just left with Adam and Eve and Cain. Where did Cain get his wife to continue the human race? That question has been a stumbling block for many Christians. Many non-Christians use this question to show why the Bible is just fiction and cannot be true. We need to know how to answer the question. Does the Bible have an answer to that question? Or did Cain have to marry a very hairy ape woman to keep the races going, folks? Where did Cain get his wife? What do you think? Does the Bible give an answer for where Cain got his wife, or is it just leave it open-ended? Or maybe the Bible doesn't have an answer for all that. So what about evolution, though? So we've left the biblical model open-ended there, where Cain got his wife to continue the human race. But what about the evolution model? See, the evolution model proposes that humans evolved from some ape-like creature. They evolved from some ape-like creature. Now, have you ever noticed? Now, think about this. Next time you get a biology textbook, and they're leaving it out of the biology textbooks mostly now because they got in a lot of trouble on this. But have you ever noticed in the biology textbooks in the 1990s, the pictures of human evolution? You look closely at those pictures, they always go from dark skin to light skin. And I have several textbooks right here in the studio with me showing exactly that. Even some of the modern biology textbooks show the very dark-skinned as being the least primitive of the creatures which we are supposed to have evolved from. So the textbooks right there were showing that the darker-skinned people were less evolved than the lighter-skinned people. And maybe that's why they took a lot of those pictures out of the textbooks, because they're ashamed of what they believe. Well, let me read you something on this. Evolution and Racism. I titled this little piece, Evolution and Racism. There was a leading evolutionist by the name of Stephen Jay Gould. Now, he's not with us anymore. He died a couple years ago. He knows the truth now. He probably wishes he knew the truth before he died, that Jesus Christ was his only way. But Stephen Jay Gould was an atheist, a Marxist, as well as an anti-racist. Now, I want to point something out very, very important here. Because people believe in evolution does not mean they're racist, folks. They're not racist today. They've changed their whole attitude, but it's the philosophy of evolutionism that has promoted racism. It is a racist philosophy, and people need to understand that when they're promoting evolutionism, they are promoting a philosophy that has endorsed racism. So here's what Stephen Jay Gould, a avowed atheist and Marxist and anti-racist, had to say in one of his books. And he states, biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1859. That's when Charles Darwin wrote his book, The Origin of Species. But they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of evolutionary theory. Wow! Here's an avowed atheist evolutionist saying, Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, was prominent in promoting racism in this country. And I have a question for you about that Charles Darwin book. We see the title, The Origin of Species, but if anybody can call in and tell me the full name of his book, The Origin of Species, the full name, we'll give you a book called The Answers Book. Now, this book answers 20 of the most popular questions we get in creation evolution. Does God exist? Did God really take 6 days to create everything? What about the gap theory? What about carbon 14? Where did Cain get his wife? What about continental drift? Noah's flood? Where'd all the water go? And 20 very popular questions. So if somebody can call in and give me the full name of Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, we'll give you that book free tonight. And also, for those who call in and have the best question tonight, we'll give you the DVD, Only One Race. So we have a few giveaways. 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. Or you can call us locally at 206-374-8800. Where did all the races come from? Now, neither racism nor the idea of evolution really started with Charles Darwin. We know that. It's gone way back through history. Both are manifestations of basing one's thinking on what we call non-biblical foundations. See, racism doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from non-biblical thinking. However, Charles Darwin's writings greatly fueled racism. It provided a scientific justification for racism. So Charles Darwin had a lot to do with promoting racism in this country and around the world. Now, let me read a quote from you. Here's our man, Charles Darwin. Now, we teach a lot about Charles Darwin in the schools. You know what I believe? I think we should teach more about Charles Darwin. Because today, some of these states in this country are trying to have a Darwin holiday. They're promoting Charles Darwin days. They're really putting this man on a pedestal. What do we know about him? Well, let me teach you a little bit more about Charles Darwin, the man. He wrote another book called The Descent of Man. In 1874, he wrote a book called The Descent of Man. Let me read you a quote from his book, and it states, "At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world." Now, what does that tell you about this man we hold up in a great big pedestal? Folks, he was a racist. And people in this country are saying, that is a great man, a racist? Well, when we come back from the break, I've got another quote from you from Charles Darwin. And you women out there need to listen to this one, because I don't think you're going to like too much about Charles Darwin when you hear what he had to say in his book, The Descent of Man. Because he doesn't put women in the same class as men. So make sure you come back. 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. And we're talking about the origin of the races. Where did all the races come from? What about racism? What does the Bible teach? And what are we learning in our schools? Welcome back to Creation Matters, and tonight's topic on creation evolution is, where did all the races come from? What about racism? Why was racism so prominent in this country? What spurred it on? What gave it scientific justification to say one race was less than another race? And we just finished reading a quote by Charles Darwin that showed in his book, The Descent of Man, he was firmly into this racism idea. And we also have talked about some other evolutionists who said made the claim that it was Charles Darwin's book that really prompted racism in this country, gave it legitimate scientific justification there for putting one race of people below another race of people. And if you'd like to find out some more about some of this, and you before we go any further, for those of you out there, make sure you turn your TV down in case the football game's on. Make sure you can listen to us a little bit more, but turn that TV down a little bit. But I've heard there's a football game on tonight. I don't know how important it is, but I heard there's a football game on. But anyway, if you'd like to go out to our website, Creation Matters, we'd love to have you drop us a line or give us a call. Go out to our website, Creation Matters. We tell you all about how to do that. But give us a call, 800-955-8200. And let me start by reading this quote from Charles Darwin. We read the one where it showed he was a little bit of a racist, but here's another one, and see what he has to say about women. A quote from Charles Darwin, "It is generally admitted that with women, the powers of intuition, of rapid perception, and perhaps imitation, are more strongly marked than in man. But some, at least of these faculties, are characteristic of the lower races, and therefore of a past and lower state of civilization." Did you get what he just said? He just made that statement in his book that some of those characteristics you women have out there are characteristics of lower races and a lower state of civilization. How does that make you feel about the hero Charles Darwin? Well, we have someone on the phone here. Let's go out to, was it Daryl from Spanaway? You have a question.
Yes. I was was asking you how reliable is the Apocrypha, the Lost Books of Adam? They referenced Cain and Abel as having twin sisters and Cain taking one as his wife, forcibly.
How reliable are the books of the Apocrypha?
Yes.
From what I understand, they're not real reliable, and that's why they've been left out of the Bible, as we know. Because we have found in the Apocrypha, there are some real errors, and no other parts of the Bible really make a reference to them. But it doesn't rule out completely that everything in there is false history. But we have found that a lot of what we find in there cannot be substantiated through any other historical facts or anything else in there. And they were not part of the original Bible either. So we have to be very careful with those. Good question. Thank you very much, Daryl.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let's continue on. We just read a quote from Charles Darwin, but I have a more modern quote from you here. Here's another person that I particularly don't, but I know a lot of young people look up to this person. Her name is called Madonna. A lot of people, and we teach about Madonna more in our schools today in history than we do some of our founding fathers now. We like to talk about Madonna. Let me read to you something about Madonna, the so-called rock star Madonna. Was quoted as saying she would be unlikely to choose a black partner again. Claiming to have been mistreated when she dated black men, she said this, "Maybe a lot of it has to do with the fact that they haven't had the same chances as we white people have had to be educated or exposed to things that make you more evolved." How does that make you feel about this rock star Madonna? Here we have a confirmed racist by that statement right there. Charles Darwin was a racist. He actually put some of the characteristics of women as lower races, a lower state of civilization. Madonna is saying black men are maybe not as evolved as we are, and that's why they act the way they do. So there's your rock star there. Now, what have been the effects of all this evolution teaching? Well, let me read to you something else here. What have been the effects that this evolution teaching that we're teaching today in our schools have had on our youth and this country? Now, this comes from a book called Mankind So Far. It was written in 1944. And let me read to you a quote from this book, and it says this. "Another kind of racial difference comes from the fact that a given feature may be more thoroughly evolved among some peoples than others. The Aboriginal Australian, for example, has larger and consequently less evolved brow ridges than most men. On the other hand, the Europeans have straighter faces and more chin and are more evolved." Then they go on to make this statement. "The whites are rather generalized. They are the most advanced." That is what evolution teaching has done in this country. Did you know thousands and thousands of Aborigines in Australia were slaughtered and killed because they thought they weren't as evolved? That is what evolution thinking has done to society. The killing of people based on the color of their skin. Did you know there was even a case where a person was put in a cage because of the color of their skin? Otto Benga. Let me read this to you. One of the most fascinating historical accounts about the effects of Darwinism is the story of Otto Benga, a pygmy who was put on display not in an Australian zoo, but in an American zoo as an example of an inferior race. All because of that man we put up on a pedestal and teach in our schools called Charles Darwin. Now, again, he did not invent racism. But he gave a scientific justification for putting people in cages, for slaughtering people, all in the name of evolutionism. That is what it has done to our society. So, is evolution based on any real facts? We hear about it in the school, or is it just a story we like to write about in textbooks? 800-955-8200. We still have two questions out there. We have a question out there. Can anybody give me the full name of Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species? And when you hear the real name, you'll find out why they don't put it in textbooks today, folks, because it's the full name reeks of racism. And also, for the best question, we're going to give away the DVD the one race. So give us a call if you have a chance. And we still have this question out there. Where did Cain get his wife? Can anybody out there answer that biblical question? Because if it was just Adam and Eve, did Cain have to marry a very hairy ape woman out there? And maybe that's why we still have hair, because hair was propagated through the marriage of hairy ape woman. So give us a call on that one if you can answer that question. Where did Cain get his wife? So we've talked about some of these Darwin quotes. We talked about Madonna. We've talked about what was being taught in the 1940s. Did you know in World War II, let me throw this extra piece in here. World War II, our GIs were being taught that the Japanese were not fully human. So we would just run right all over them. And you know the Japanese were doing the same about us? All in the name of evolution, they were indoctrinating their peoples, as we were, that we could just run right over these other groups of people. That's what evolution teaches. Now, I'm not saying evolutions today are racist. It's the philosophy of evolution that has promoted racism out there. So, is it really based on any facts? Is evolution based on any facts, or is it just a story? Well, before we blindly accept this story called evolution, you know we should actually check our facts. I wish more educators would be out there checking their facts rather than teaching blindly what's in the textbooks and accepting it. Do you know the law of this land says we can teach all the scientific evidence about a theory? That is a law of this land. We can do that. And it doesn't matter what the ACLU, they can come in and bully all they want, but folks, the law says we can teach all the scientific evidence, although many university professors don't want that. So, is evolution a true story? Should we just accept blindly what's in our textbooks? We need to ask a question. What is the driving force behind evolution? This is very key to this whole thing where the races came from. What is the driving force behind evolution? What could cause an ape-like creature to evolve into a human being? See, we just talk about these creatures, and we see pictures drawn by artists in our textbooks. We don't really see a lot of times the real fossils. What was the mechanism for causing evolution? Well, according to evolutionists, the main mechanism for evolution is natural selection. Well, wait a minute. How does natural selection work? Well, let me give you a brief of natural selection. Let me give you a brief idea. And when we come back from a break, we want to talk a little bit about, more about this, what the textbooks are saying. So let me give you a little brief about natural selection. Here's how evolution is supposed to work. First of all, we're supposed to get a beneficial mutation. Well, that's a pretty hard thing to do right off because most mutations are bad or neutral. We find very, very, very few, if any, beneficial mutations. And there might be a few out there. So we get a beneficial mutation. And then natural selection selects that beneficial mutation, deselects for anything else coding for that particular function. And then the old gene is gone, the new gene survived, and we have natural selection causing a better fit creature, causing evolution to occur. That is how evolution is supposed to happen. And when we come back from the break, we want to discuss, is that true? Or are we being fed another line here? 800-955-8200. Welcome back to Creation Matters, and we're talking about where did all the races come from? Why do we have so many different colors of skin for humans? And also we have a couple of giveaways here today for the person who can give me the full name of Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species. And incidentally, that is not the full name. I need the full name. We have a tremendous resource here we'll give away for free. It's called The Answers Book, the 20 most asked questions about creation evolution answered in this book in layman's terms. And also, for the best question tonight, we have the DVD, Only One Race. So we have some good giveaways today, 800-955-8200. And we just talked about natural selection, how it works. We have a beneficial mutation. Natural selection selects that beneficial mutation, and the species is better able to adapt and survive. Now, this is what's being taught. But folks, can we believe everything we read in textbooks? Can natural selection really be the cause of evolution? Now, I want to make sure you understand, we don't deny, as creationists, we don't deny the fact of natural selection. It is observable. Natural selection is a fact. But I believe in many of our textbooks, we are misleading our students here. Let me give an example. A modern biology textbook, they give an example of natural selection. And what they do in this textbook, they, for their example, they use red and black lizards that live in dark soil. And in this case, the red lizards will be easier to see by the predators, so they'd be less likely to survive, and thus over time, the gene that produces will produce mostly black lizards. So we have a population change from black and red lizards to mostly just black. And they say that's natural selection, and that is absolutely true. That is a perfect example of natural selection. But then they give the suggestion that that is evolution. Folks, that has nothing to do with evolution. That is the misleading information we're giving in our textbooks. We know natural selection works, but it has nothing to do with evolution. It can't. You see, the question we need to ask here is, what did we start with in those lizards? Black and red lizards. What did we end up with? Black and red lizards. Did anything change? Absolutely not. And is that their best example? And that is their best example, folks. That means evolutionists are in deep trouble. That's why they have to hide behind the court systems, because they cannot defend themselves scientifically. Let me read another quote here. This comes from another biology textbook, a very popular one, Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston-type biology textbook. And here's what they say. Darwin not only demonstrated that evolution has occurred, but also proposed its principal mechanism, natural selection. There again is a misleading statement. Natural selection cannot lead to evolution. And we're going to get to why. But I want to read to you something else here. How about this? We talk about giraffes a lot. How do giraffes get their long neck? Well, let me read to you another quote from one of our modern biology textbooks. It says this: natural selection is the mechanism by which their long necks probably evolved. Well, before I go any further in that statement, I want to give you a little lesson in logic out there. We all need a little lesson in logic one time. You notice that quote there: natural selection is the mechanism by which their long necks probably evolved. Folks, there's a very, what I call, fuzzy word in there. Fuzzy word. It's called probably. When you see words like that, probably, we think, could have, my opinion is, in our biology textbooks, that is a clear case they don't have the evidence. They're just making a claim with no evidence. So how did these giraffes get their long necks? Now, I'd like my wife to read something. This is from that second grade book. This is a second grader book, and it has something about the giraffe. Let me let her read this quote to you from that book. Go ahead, Leslie.
Well, Ed, the title of this page is Necessary Adjustments, and it's talking about the giraffe. It says, giraffes may develop longer or shorter necks depending on how high off the ground most of their food is. And at the bottom of the page, there's a giraffe with a very short neck, and he's looking up at the fruit in the tree that's high above him. And there's a thought process that shows he's thinking about the fact that if he had a long neck, he could eat that fruit, suggesting that he's thinking, oh, in the future, the generations that follow me should probably grow their necks longer.
Now, let's think about this. See, our students don't have a chance to think about this. Matter of fact, some states in this country are outlawing any arguments against evolution. Any arguments, whether they're scientific or anything, they don't want evolution to be argued against. They just want to indoctrinate our students. That's not called science, folks. That's not even called education. For all you teachers out there forcing this on students, now I'm not saying you're bad teachers, I'm not saying you don't know your subject, but you're not teaching. You're indoctrinating students into your personal philosophy. But here's a question about that statement. It's called necessary adjustments. Who made the necessary adjustments? Where did it come from? Where did the intelligence come from to make these necessary adjustments? Who makes the decision what is necessary? And here's another question. We talk about giraffes, long necks. Do we find any giraffes in the fossil record that have short necks? Guess what, folks? We don't. That completely obliterates the whole notion of giraffes having short necks at one time. Folks, great claims require real evidence, not pictures in textbooks and statements that are fuzzy, folks. We need to have the real evidence. Now, I also have another modern biology textbook. And in this textbook, they show a series of giraffes with long and short necks reaching up for food high up in the trees. And this picture is supposed to show how these giraffes evolved their long necks. Well, I have a question right away. Why did they evolve long necks? Why didn't they just get longer legs? So we have a situation there. I think it would be a lot easier to get your four legs adjusted than a long neck. Why not just get those longer legs? See, evolution just doesn't make sense, folks. It just doesn't make any scientific sense at all. That what they're teaching in that book is absolutely wrong information. See, even Charles Darwin knew the concept of giraffes stretching their necks. Now, I'm not saying the textbook's actually saying that, but they're implying that, as that second grade book was. Giraffes stretching their necks will not evolve longer necks, folks. Let me give you an example. Suppose I were to challenge you. Get 2 5- or 10-pound dumbbells, the small little hand weights. And I want you to put them in your hands and I want you to walk around for an entire year without ever setting them down. That may make it a little harder to eat, but you can have somebody feed you. But walk around, never set those down, and walk around, and you know what's going to happen at the end of the year? Your arms might get maybe an eighth of an inch or a sixteenth of an inch longer just from stretching. But did you know your offspring will not inherit that? Charles Darwin knew that. Unfortunately, some of our modern biology textbooks don't know that. And we have a caller on the line, and we have Isaac from Buckley. You have a answer to what was the full name of Charles Darwin's book?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe it was called On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life.
We have a winner. Wow, Isaac. Great. And we're going to send you that book, the Answers book, and it's a tremendous... Matter of fact, it's one of the most sold books on creation evolution anywhere.
Cool.
So we'll send you that book, and Heidi will take all the information she needs from you. And congratulations for
thank
being
you.
A winner. And also, thank you for listening to us tonight.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thanks.
So we have a winner on the full name of Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of the, get this word, Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Now do you see why our textbooks don't put the full name in there? Because what is that prompting or promoting there? The idea that there are many races and one race is superior to another race. That's why they won't do that. I think we should teach more about Charles Darwin. I think we should teach that he put characteristics of women as a form of a subspecies of humans. I think we should teach that Charles Darwin was a racist. Did you know Charles Darwin even stated we should examine all the evidence about a theory, not just one side? So let's start teaching more about Charles Darwin, not just the parts evolutionists want us to know. So let's get back to this natural selection thing here. We talked about the giraffe's neck. That just does not work according to the evolution models. And as teachers of science, we should not stand for teaching this kind of wrong or misleading information. We should uphold the teaching profession to a higher standard because you teachers go through a lot of work and you put up with an awful lot every day besides just teaching. And you need to make sure your profession is upheld to a high standard as it should be. And you should be rewarded for having high standards. But folks, we got to do something about our textbooks. They are deplorable when it comes to this kind of information. We need to get a whole new crop of textbook writers out there that are willing to tell the truth and not misleading. So let's get to this. What do we know about natural selection? What do we really know about natural selection? Well, first of all, we know it's a fact. Natural selection does mean survival of the fittest. It does mean our ability to adapt to our environment. And the textbooks are absolutely correct on that. But you know, here we go again. The textbooks are leaving out some information. You know, natural selection has no foresight. It cannot see into the future to determine what the final product is going to be like. So how would it ever know to make an eye? It has no clue what the final product is going to look like. And it doesn't have a clue that it takes the brain to work with the eye. So how in the world can natural selection work there? And it only works with existing information. In other words, for evolution to occur, in other words, for a reptile to grow wings and become a bird or an ape-like creature to become a human being, you have to add new genetic information. New information has to be added to the DNA. But natural selection never adds anything new. It only works with existing information. And in many cases, it causes a loss of information, which is the opposite direction of evolution. By its very nature, natural selection would prevent evolution from occurring. Because as soon as we get a mutation, and it's not fully there to grow the new organ or whatever needs to be there, it doesn't know it needs that new organ. It's going to get rid of it because it's a hindrance. For example, if a reptile is going to grow feathers and wings, where it's got half feathers and half scales, folks, that's a hindrance to this creature. It can't run on the ground anymore to get rid of its predator, and it can't fly. So natural selection alone prevents evolution from occurring. So 800-955-8200 for the best question. We're giving the DVD away called Only One Race. And we're going to go to a break here in just a moment, and we're going to get back to the Bible. Where did Cain get his wife? And you know, we don't have to resort to trickery or bad science to tell people about God and His Word. The book is out there for all to read. It has never had to change, as evolution constantly changes and are constantly hiding information from their followers. Folks, the Bible's out there. Read it. It's out there for everyone. 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. Give us a call, and we'll be right back from the break. Welcome back to Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and in studio with me is a very special person called the wife, Leslie Riddle. And we're talking about where did all the races come from. We still have a couple of outstanding questions that we haven't answered yet, but we did answer the question, what about evolution? We know evolution's not scientifically possible. They don't have a mechanism, so they don't have an answer for all the races where they came from. But we do have a caller on the line, Mo from Tacoma. Do you know where, have an answer to where Cain get his wife?
I don't know if I know, but I've stumbled across something a few years ago that is rather strange, an anomaly. And I believe it's Genesis 3. Maybe you can help me out, where He first created man. Okay. Let us go down and create man in our image.
Okay, and in then, Genesis chapter 2, we have the man.
Okay, now, I believe about two chapters later, He said, again, it appears that God creates man again, that He breathed His spirit or His life into man.
No, there's only one creation of man, Adam and Eve. They're the original creation. He doesn't create any more people. So
I don't have my Bible in front of me. I wish I could possibly email you.
You can certainly email me. Go out to our website, creationmatters.org. On creationmatters.org, you'll see our email out there and also our address, so you can either call us or email us, or whichever one you like to do.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling. So what about this? Where did Cain get his wife? Well, since we know evolution is not true, that only leaves us the one choice, and that leaves us the biblical history of Adam and Eve and Cain. Where did Cain get his wife? Well, Cain married his sister, or very close relative. How do we know this? Well, in Genesis chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, we read this. After he, talking about Adam, begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And he had, get this now, and he had sons and daughters. We kind of skip that part in the Bible. Right there is talking about Adam and Eve. Not only had Cain and Abel and Seth, but they had other sons and daughters. Then it goes on to say, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Can you imagine living for 930 years today? Can you imagine how many wrinkles you'd have? So I'm glad we don't live that long today. I don't want that many wrinkles. So Scripture doesn't tell us how many sons and daughters Adam and Eve actually had. But folks, after 930 years, it could be an awful lot of sons and daughters. And remember, they were commanded to be fruitful and multiply. And also think of this. Abraham, who did he marry? His half-sister. But wait a minute. Isn't there a law against marrying your brother or sister? Yes, there is today. Today, we don't marry our close relatives because any children we have a great chance of being deformed. So we see that right there. But Adam and Eve were created perfect. No deformities, no mutations. And their children would not have had any deformities. So as Cain. But it wasn't until about 2,500 years after that, in the days of Moses, there had been enough time to accumulate a lot of mistakes in our genes. So in Leviticus chapters 18 through 20, God forbids brothers and sisters or close relatives from marrying. So therefore, it was not incest. It was perfectly legal and the only way to propagate the human species. So the question is, how many races are there? Well, folks, there's only one race, the human race. And why do we get all these different colors? Because we have something in us called melanin. And melanin is a very special part in our cells, in our skin, brownish color, that gives us the light and dark shades. So the Bible is right. We have one race, and we have a DVD we're going to give away to the best questions, and that was Daniel who gets the One Race DVD. Congratulations, Daniel, for that. We'll send you that DVD. So the Bible gives the only plausible explanation for why we have one race. Evolution does not have give us an answer to that. Evolution doesn't even give us an answer for how it could happen, but the Bible does. We start with Adam and Eve, two people, and folks, right there is the beginning of marriage, one man and one woman, for all those of you who are concerned about that. There's your one man, one woman. Give us a call. And also, Daryl, we don't have your number, so if you'd give us a call back, we'd love to get that DVD to you. But folks, go out to our website, creationmatters.org. We have many, many links out there to talk about this. And you can actually find books online out there that we have for you this week. The whole book, One Blood, is online. You go to our website and click on the KGNW button there, and you can get the entire book, One Blood, and many other questions answered about the Bible and racism. Folks, the Bible does not promote racism. It promoted groups and nations, but not races. In the beginning, God created.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.